4x4s in stock, including Audi, BMW, Toyota, Volkswagen, Mercedes, and many more. All cars are fully serviced and validated and come with 6 months warranty. Finance also available, subject to status. Visit us today at A&D Motors, Unit 12, Belfast Road, Newry. Contact Paul on 308-33407. A&D Motors. Together, we can find the perfect motor to suit your needs.
Jumper, it's great!
Moonjumper skydivers know why birds sing at the Sky Centre, County Derry. Take to the sky with a solo jump or a 13,000-foot tandem. Why not jump for charity? Contact Moonjumper on 703 56356 or obtain sponsorship forms. That's 703 56356. Gift vouchers available for birthdays.
Thank you for all of that. Mayor Michael Cole is with us. Men of Africa and the Abbey stand by waiting to talk to us shortly. All of that to come. Mayor Cole, that last thingamajiggery was about parachute jumping. Would you ever take the notion of parachute jumping for charity, would you?
No. And that's no, just...
no ambiguity.
Wouldn't just be my scene to jump out of a perfectly good flying plane.
You'd be far better off with a heaving deck beneath your feet.
Well...
You've done your bit of fishing in your day.
I have. Yeah, I did that about... Must be 1987.
Yeah.
Started fishing.
Yeah.
It was an interesting time.
Well, it's a tough profession. It's a tough trade because the sea gives up its bounty with great reluctance, and you've got to go out there where the weather is worse to get the stuff, you know.
Well, that's it. The fishermen do. They have a hard life. I mean, it's not easy. Although in my time, it used to be iron men and wooden boats, and it's...
Wooden... you said that. I didn't. That's terrible. Listen, God forgive you.
But I didn't follow on through there.
No, you didn't, but I did. You trapped me into saying it, you devil. But listen, politics, when did you get involved in politics?
Well, about 1987, I think it was. Before that, I was involved with one of our local SDLP cars. It would have been Emmett Hockey, and I did a bit of work for him, sitting at the polling stations and...
Did the SDLP that kind of politic run in your family, or was, you know, why was it SDLP and not Sinn Féin, for example?
Well, that's just what course you take. I mean, that's just...
If you'd gone for Sinn Féin, you could have been Deputy First Minister today.
Well, probably could have been, all right. But for the SDLP, but you can't have it all your own way.
No, you can't. But I mean, I think the importance of local community is, it can't be overstressed as far as you're concerned.
No.
Feeling of belonging.
No, the community is the most important part of it. I mean, you need to be working with the community. I mean, a councillor, I always said, he's like an upgraded community worker. He can open doors that ordinary people can't open. I mean, and it's great to be able to help the community that way.
Yeah. Are there many rows in the council chamber these days?
Not now, no. When I first started, there was.
And how? There would have been shouting, would there?
A bit of shouting, but I mean, it's all... There's crack, there's plenty of crack in it now.
Banter is the
banter
word.
Banter is the word, is right.
Yeah.
It used to be, when I first started, I was amazed. The very first night I was on the council, I was amazed at the way they were going on. But then I was even more amazed after, when everybody was sitting down taking a cup of tea and saying, that was a good old crack. That was amazing.
But that maybe was done for the press. Of course, in those days, you know, in those days there was smoking in the council chamber.
And that's right.
You got the passive smoking thing. So just like the Irish Army soldiers suing for damage to their hearing because of the sound of the gunfire, you should be suing Newry Council for the possibility of damage to your lungs as a consequence of smoking in their dreadfully smoke-filled rooms.
It wasn't that bad. Most people did usually went out for a smoke. I mean, but there's not as many smokers now. It's only just,
it's
an antisocial. Like, you know, I mean,
it is. I equate smoking with lack of intelligence. If I see what someone smoking, I automatically feel there's a fool, because that business of sucking down the smoke into the alveoli of the lungs, filling the lungs with rubbish and tar, says to me a man wants to die or a woman wants to die, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I wouldn't go to that extreme. You know, I think that's a wee bit hard on the smoker, saying the like of that. The only thing is, it's a cost thing. They're very expensive at the minute. It seems to be, you know, blowing money up into the air.
Absolutely.
But people, it's a habit. People have been smoking a long time, and it's a habit they have. It's a hard habit to break.
I was considering it once. I tell you this, Michael. I was considering it, and I was sounding off in my usual way, I've just given you an example of it, but I suddenly thought, Rowan, they're addicted. You drink your wine with your dinner. Are you addicted? And it took me a moment to actually say, well, I wouldn't much like my dinner, a nice big steak without a glass or couple of glasses of good red wine. So people do get addicted on things, whether it be smoking or drinking.
Well, I gave up the smoking about 12 years ago, and it's not easy. I mean, for people to give up smoking, it's not easy, because there's something if there's a bit of stress, it's something to do with your hands. I mean, there's a whole lot of factors involved in it. It's just not, I just wouldn't condemn anybody just for smoking or not giving them up. It's not easy. Once you've done it yourself and you see how hard it is to do, I mean, it's not. I have a lot of sympathy for people that smoke or try to give them up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I have to agree with that, all right. What about the spiritual side of you? Do you believe in a God? This is a godly sort of programme. It sounds like Sunday, so it's a question I ask people. Do you believe in a God?
Of course.
Why of course? Hold on now. Why you said of course? Is it of course?
That was my upbringing. You mean coming up through the Catholic religion, coming up through school. I was taught there was a God.
So you were brainwashed.
I'm not saying I was brainwashed. But no matter where you go in the world, you mean if there's a church or a chapel, you always go to see it. I mean, for some unknown reason, it's possibly because it is your upbringing to see what the chapel's like. And there's some of the loveliest churches and chapels about the world.
Yeah, I went to St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York when they opened the doors at 7:30 in the morning. And I stepped over the sleeping bodies of the people on the steps outside. And I suddenly discovered that when I went inside, the heat had been on for a very considerable time because it was warm. And these poor creatures outside, if they'd been allowed in, they could have enjoyed the heat. So sometimes I look at religion and I find it a much too cosy club, and that it has nothing whatsoever to do with God. It has everything to do with... It's almost like a spiritual golf club, if you like, where everybody tee-hees and waddles up to the bar and talks the talk of the club, but the real issue of God doesn't exist in religion.
Well, everybody, 99% of people, you know, I mean, there is a God for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need some sort of, you know, what do you call it, solace, or something happens in their life, something tragic. I mean, they turn to prayer and religion. That is a time I would be coming back from Newry or going to Newry, and I think to myself, oh, I must just run into the graveyard here. You know, taking a look at the graves just for a walk about. It's a very quiet place. My parents are buried there.
Where is that? In Newry?
In Kilkeel.
In Kilkeel, yeah.
Massworth.
The business of visiting graveyards actually does two things. It gives a man a context in which to live his life. It also kind of puts manners into you, because, you know, this is where you're going to end up.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, life's for a living. I mean, life is short enough without, looking for problems.
Oh, yeah.
Because they come to find you easy enough. But
so
you say, the graveyard, it does. It gives you a bit of...
You get on with the business.
Ah.
And that's what it's
take
about.
Take it as it comes.
Take it as it comes. So I wish you well, Michael. It's been a joy talking to you. And maybe you'll come in again and talk with us any time. This studio, for the duration of you being mayor and for the duration of you being in politics, this studio is your studio. Anything you want to promote in here, anything you want to make contact with people about, the microphone is yours.
Thanks very much, Ron. I'll take you up with that offer.
We'll do it.
Anytime you want me to come in, I'll come in anyway for a bit of crack and a bit of chat.
We'll do that, we'll do it in the near future again. But now, a piece of music for you.
Thanks very much, Ron. Good luck.
It wasn't so. Your children cry, but they are fed. That's why you have to go. Won't have to part.
Will you be waiting?
But we'll be old, our children gone. I feel this in my heart.
Will you be waiting?
If you could feel the loneliness, if there could be a way.
Will you be waiting?
Would you change the city's life? Would you stay?
Will you be waiting?
Boyani,
my daughter,
Nebuyelekaya.
Boyani,
Boyani,
my daughter, Nebuyelekaya.
And your daughter, Boyakaya.
Boyani, my daughter, Nebuyelekaya.
There we are. Thank you very, very much indeed for that. That's from the African Footprints CD. Men of Africa have joined me, Men of Newry as well. They're Abbey people. I've got Rory McMahon with me. How are you, Rory? You're
good
welcome.
Morning, Ron.
Rory's a geography teacher at the Abbey, and two of the taught are Dara Dobbin, he of the Omeath Hotel fame once upon a time. Come in a wee bit closer, Dara, if you would. And Connor Bell. You guys have been to Zambia. Okay. Yeah. Students, tell me what you thought of it. Give me a... Think of the people at home. They're sitting in their kitchens. Which of you is the English student? Who'd be better? You, paint me a pen picture, if you would, Connor, of what it's like in the Zambia that you went to.
I can't. Well, it was just the experience of a lifetime, you know. We sat out, we didn't really know. Oh, well, maybe we were a bit prepared, but, you know, we didn't know what we were going to see. Yeah. So then whenever we got there, it was just unbelievable. So.
What did you see that made it unbelievable?
Just, to be honest, the different types of culture, different things that happened there that you wouldn't even dream of seeing here. And maybe just the daily lifetime or life routine of the people over there.
Yeah, give me an example of one of those things. What made it different? What made you go, ah, I've never seen the like of this in my life?
It's just an experience, like when you go like a capital city like Lusaka or like Livingston, the supposed tourist capital of the country, and you're coming down like the main street, and you're used to the tarmac streets in the area, and it's like muck almost, and there's women walking around with like buckets in their head and stuff. It's just, it's really strikes you, and you, it's something you're never used to, and you'll never probably experience again unless you go back.
Yeah, boys, will you go back? That's the big question.
Would love to. Yeah, definitely. Well, a few of the fellas, you know, talk about maybe hopefully arranging a trip back, you know, very soon. But then we're sort of instructed that maybe it'd be better if we were to go to university first, get our degree or whatever, and go back whenever we could, really could make a difference again by ourselves.
Yeah. If the Catholic Church allowed you to have women in your life as priests, would you become a priest, and you and your wife go out there and spend your life working there?
I wouldn't be a priest.
But I find in Africa, the priests are first of all adventurers before they're anything else, because, do you know what I'm saying to you here, Rory? That it's a calling to adventure, because it ain't easy. The boots you're looking at me wearing here are boots I got to stop snake biting, to stop scorpion biting, walking in the bush at night. So that notion of being a priest in Africa is a very great adventurous calling.
Well, it's a huge sacrifice, as you know, Rowan. When we were in Africa, we met up with a Christian brother who was there, and one of the days we actually went to the plot where the Christian brothers are buried, and basically these men had given up their whole lives to work in Zambia with the poor, and they were buried in quite a desolate place, and for us it just really brought the whole thing home to us about how much they had actually sacrificed. Yeah. They went out there as young men, and they died there as old men.
Yeah. And it was a constant coming. They went as young men, they worked and they died, and more young men and more young women came after them.
Well, unfortunately, that seems to be stopping now, as you know, the missionaries. Now, Ireland had a great tradition of missionaries going out into the world and bringing Christianity, helping work with the poor, and that seems now to have come to an end.
Yeah, but I don't expect you to comment on this, because it's easy enough for me to comment on it. If the Catholic Church caught itself on and allowed priests to have wives, then the whole thing might become easier. But at the heels of the hunt, it's okay anyway, because the work was done well, and African priests are all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know about the priests getting married, because they can get married in the Anglican Church, and their numbers are actually falling off.
Are they? Also, yeah.
But what we're actually seeing now, and what we probably will see a lot more of in the future, is African missioners coming to Europe, and I think there's already evidence of that in Ireland.
Hold that thought, because we have to go momentarily from the sublime to the necessarily ridiculous.
New Point Players Youth Group have been rehearsing all summer long for their summer production, which this year is the thought-provoking play The Crucible by Arthur Miller. Young people from throughout the district have been here every day over the summer holidays, rehearsing, learning new skills under the direction of New Point Players. The show opens on Tuesday the 4th of September and runs until Saturday the 8th of September at 8 p.m. nightly. Tickets are £6 and £5 and are available at the Sean Hollywood Arts Centre. Other events coming up: Charlie Smith and the Panto Players in Family Fever, 25th to the 28th of September in Newry Town Hall. An Irish-Polish night featuring music and poetry on the 14th of September in the Arts Centre. And a new Sam McCready play, New Your State of Mind, also in the Arts Centre on the 5th of October.
Daft Dave is back at Right Price Tiles.
Dave, there are still lorry loads of tiles coming in. Can we stop this madness now?
No, I'm liquidating ceramic tiles. I'm liquidating porcelain tiles. I'm liquidating marble tiles. Man the forklifts, Mr. Monkey. We have thousands of pallets left. We're liquidating a million tiles.
The liquidation stock clearance is extended till Sunday at Right Price Tiles, Dundalk Retail Park, Inner Relief Road, next to Harvey Norman.
Liquidation for the nation.
Higgins Car Dismantlers, Ringsend, Garva, County Derry. One of the largest breakers in the Northwest, dismantling over 3,000 cars, jeeps and four-wheel drives from 95 to 06. Now in stock, new window winders, headlights, wiper motors, bumpers and panels. New chrome bars, side steps and wheel covers for four-wheel drives and pickups, as well as spotlights. Don't forget, all small parts delivered anywhere in Ireland for just £10. Call 028 7086 8814 or visit higginscardismantlers.co.uk. All major credit cards accepted.
Calling all ladies of Newry. Newry's premier ladies only fitness club is celebrating its first birthday. Ladies Workout Express in Francis Street is celebrating with a massive giveaway. During the entire month of September, ladies can use the club for free. That's right, a whole month absolutely free. Come on down and try our ladies only circuits, classes and cardio area. Call now to reserve your free month. Just ring Ladies Workout Express on Newry 302 6211, or pop into the gym on Francis Street, opposite the Buttercrane Centre.
Anchor Bar Complex, Port Stewart, incorporating Club Aura, Skipper's Wine Bar, Anchorage Inn with 20 ensuite bedrooms from just £35 per person sharing. Newly opened conference facilities at competitive prices. Entertainment 6 nights a week. Food served daily from 12 to 9pm. Part of Strand's Good Food Collective. Christmas bookings now being taken. Best value night out all year. Check out theanchorbar.com or call 7083-2003 for more information.
Fancy a taste of Italy tonight? Then try a traditional wood-fired Italian pizza from La Dolce Vita. We're celebrating 10 years of trading and have a massive giveaway to celebrate. For the first 10 days in August, every time a customer earns 100 points, they'll be entered into a prize draw for a weekend for two in Rome, an iPod Nano, and an iPod Shuffle. So get a Pizza the Action and register now. Call 3025-2700 for Newry and 3083-9700 for a Camlock branch. It's time you tasted a slice of traditional Italian pizza, only from La Dolce Vita.
Okay, no La Dolce Vita in Africa, and I have men of Africa with me. I have men of the Abbey and men of this part of the world with me too. I've got Rory McMahon, a teacher. I've got Dara Dobbin, a student. I've got Connor Bell, a student, and the lads. The lads, that's him. That's the big fella, Dara, on the chair. Do you hear that? Eek! The lads were in Zambia as part of the Abbey outreach. Rory, where did all this begin? Why is the Abbey into Zambia?
Well, simply, Rowan, because we're a Christian Brothers school, and the Immersion Project, as it is known, is run and was started by the Christian Brothers. And it's part of their response, I suppose, to their own problem of falling numbers, that they're trying to encourage now lay people like ourselves to undertake work that they traditionally would have undertaken in Africa. And it's getting people started young. They organise it across the whole of Ireland. All Christian Brothers schools can become involved. And we were only not one of a number of schools. There were 20-odd schools across Ireland who are involved in immersion, not just in Zambia, but right across Africa. And
immersion is what? What does that mean?
Well, just basically getting yourself involved. Right,
immersed
into,
in the situation.
Right into the whole situation.
So when you went there, what did you do? What was done?
Well, our main focus was actually teaching in a number of primary schools. Well, three primary schools and one sort of training centre, I suppose it was called the Youth Community Training Centre. And the boys would actually go out and take the lessons themselves. And they're basically teaching the kids basic English, basic maths, yeah, even a bit of basic geography, things like that. We also worked then with the Sisters of Mercy out there. It was a number of nuns who worked there. They ran a medical care centre, a day centre. As you know, Zambia, like most African countries, would have a big problem with AIDS. And what the sisters were doing, they were there to give respite to the AIDS sufferers in Livingstone, where we were in Africa. So some of the days we actually travelled out with them on their visits, where they went to visit people who were too ill to come into the daycare centre. So it was a big thing for the boys here to see, you know, people next to death's door, basically.
Yeah. Brought you face to face with death, yeah, perhaps for the first time. Did you reckon, boys, that the value of being there was more a value of you being exposed to it and growing your caring personality as a consequence of that, or was the value that you were actually able to do some good for the African people?
I suppose it was like gains for like both things. Like, we learned how to like immerse ourselves and give everything, whereas I like to think we give them all something back, teaching the schools or whatever. And I think it's just a worthwhile experience for both people, or for both sets of people.
Yeah, Connor, what sort of stuff did you teach when you were there, mate?
Just maths, English, basic geography, as Roy was saying. And basically, you just go in, you know, the children be very eager to learn. Like, because maybe the different teachers in the schools, they mightn't be qualified to teach. So we were going in and, like, we wouldn't be qualified, but we would have maybe, you know, of equal standard to that of the teachers. And so we were going in and just teaching them, then at break time you go out, you know, play with them in the yard and that. So it's maybe...
Rory, is there not a fundamental underlying problem that teaching, valuable teaching, is dependent on part-time students coming out for a few weeks to teach and then go away again, what happens when they go? How does teaching continue?
Well, that is, I suppose, the sad reality of Zambia, is that teaching there is not of a very high standard. And as I said, a lot of it is down to people like ourselves coming out and volunteers, older student volunteers coming out for a year at a time to give their experience to teach. One of the best ways to help a country develop, especially a country like Zambia, is through education. So it's a bit of a vicious cycle. They're not becoming educated, so they're stuck in this rut that they can't get out of. And I think that's one of the things really that we're doing, actually, is we've sponsored a school in Livingstone, the Libuya Community School. Mr. Mark Grogan from the Abbey, with two boys who've been out in the 2005 immersion project, actually travelled out this July and August. And on the 20th of August, with the Mayor of Livingstone, they actually opened the school that we're sponsoring.
Lovely.
So we're now officially twinned with the school. On top of that, we have undertaken to hire a school inspector for the next 2 years and to pay his wages. And he'll basically come in to the school, inspect the teachers, inspect the standard of teaching that's going on.
Well done.
So we're hoping that will raise... We're not under any illusion that we're going to solve Zambia's problems overnight, but... Yeah. We're starting small, and hopefully...
Well, you know, one step begins a journey of 1,000 miles, well, and you're certainly made that step.
We're in it for the long run, Ron.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the state of organisation there of, say, the Christian Brothers, whose school it is? Should they not be the monitors of quality themselves rather than have to bring in an inspector?
Well, the school we have sponsored isn't actually the Christian Brothers school. The Christian Brothers school there is St. Raphael's, and compared to the other schools, St. Raphael's is actually very, very well run. It's basically the Zambian equivalent of the Abbey, Christian Brothers crest and all at the school gate when you're coming in. We're actually, this is a community school out in one of the compounds. Now, a compound is basically, for lack of a better term, a housing estate. But basically the houses are more or less shacks, and this is what their people are living in. So we've undertaken to sponsor that school, and hopefully with the school inspector and the money we're pouring into the school, it'll help raise standards and provide a better living for the students who actually go there.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll bring you a little piece of African music, African words and African sentiments.
This much is true, but I can't tell you, 'cause you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't.
But I do, I'm the same as you. I know what it is to be a woman. Our lives are worlds apart. This is why I'd like to tell you, to reach me, to touch me, to know me.
I can try, you're the same as I.
To touch it.
What is it to be a woman? At best, second best, this much is true, but I can't tell you, because you don't know, you don't know. But I do. I'm the same as you. I know what it is to be a woman. Our lives are worlds apart. This is why I'd like to tell you to reach me, to touch me, to know me. I can try. You're the same as I. That's a plight of women in Africa, those words coming to us. Women, beasts of burden in Africa. Women, much put upon. Women, often the innocent sufferers, the innocent victims of AIDS. And Rory from the Abbey, Rory McMahon, just back from Zambia. You've seen your fair share of AIDS in Zambia, God help us.
We did, Ron. It's, one of the statistics is that out of a population of 11 million, almost 1 million people in Zambia suffer from AIDS. And unfortunately, a lot of those are innocent. It's the women and the children. One of the things that surprised us, and something we're totally alien to us, but in Zambia, there's a culture, especially amongst the men, that they have more than one wife, even though they're sort of, they've been a Christian country, I suppose, for a while now. But 100 years ago, they very much had their own indigenous religions, and the men especially have held on to this tradition. So although they'll be married within a Christian marriage, they'll have their girlfriends on the side, and this lends itself to the spread of AIDS.
If it were in France, it would be referred to as the civilized way.
Correct.
So it's all about culture, isn't it, lads?
It is. Yeah. And it's one of the things that really took us by surprise, and one of the things we weren't aware of before we went out. And of course, as I said, it's the innocent women who are contracting this disease and their children.
What is the, in terms of the Abbey's ethos in Newry, the percolation of this experience down into the fabric of the school? What is this creating in Newry? You've been doing it now for, what, 5-6 years?
Well, this is our third, yes.
Third year.
So 6 years.
Is there something tangible, some ethos that's growing within the school that is happening as a consequence?
Well, very much so, Rowan. One of our duties when we returned home from Zambia is that we had a presentation. We actually did one in the Arts Centre for our parents and all of our generous sponsors, basically telling them about our experience. But the boys also had to deliver that to the whole school. And basically it's informing them, because it's going to be an ongoing process, of basically what we encountered when we were in Zambia and how it, I suppose, it has affected and changed us. The headmaster in the school has also been very generous, and he's given us a permanent display.
Why wouldn't he be? Well, he would be a disgrace. If Dermot did anything different, it wouldn't be acceptable at all.
Well, to be honest, Dermot has he's basically backed us from the day one.
He's
been a huge fan of the
whole
project.
He's a solid, good man, and of course he's thoroughly behind you.
Absolutely.
Dara and Connor, do young people care? You've been out there, you've seen things, you're back again, but are you too busy with your own lives for it to make any difference on an ongoing basis?
Well, I suppose one of the games of the immersion project was, when we were told, was if we don't go out, at least don't give back, give any time there's collection. I think all of us would start to do that now, and with the presentations in school and that, we're like sort of spreading what happened to us out there. And I'd like to think now anyone in the Abbey, and now that they've seen the presentation, if there's a collection for Zambia downtown or anywhere else in Africa, they try to give generously, because they give generously to us throughout the year. Yeah. Just hope they continue to do that.
Connor, what do you think about that?
Oh, see, at the, well, like, before we went, we might have been thinking, you know, like the people over in Down there in poverty and that, but like before even the immersion project of that, maybe not, like, very selfishly not thought a lot of it. But then when we went over there and we saw what they were going home to every day, and maybe not, maybe only what they were eating, like, and you know, like, completely unfair. It's just whenever you come back and you realise, you take a step back and look at your own life, and so you would be inclined, you know, to maybe give more time into it or whatever, and give
time
more money
and money.
Into,
yeah. Time and money. Hold the thoughts, boys, because we've got to go to a very Western interlude, a very rich world interlude, and it's called the adverts.
Tobrico Interiors and Tobrico Stone and Tile, Castle Blaney. Autumn sale now on for 2 weeks only. Amazing reductions in clearing lines with 20% off all stock in both stores. Sensational offers on discounted stock of wall and floor tiles, plus a one-off opportunity to get 40% off any marble fireplace. This autumn sale is for 2 weeks only at Tobrico Interiors and Tobrico Stone and Tile, Castle Blaney. Open Monday and Saturday, 9 to 6. Telephone 00353 4297 540
40. A&E Motors announces the opening of its motor vehicle yard at Unit 12, Belfast Road, Newry. They have a wide variety of quality used cars and 4x4s in stock, including Audi, BMW, Toyota, Volkswagen, Mercedes and many more. All cars are fully serviced and valeted and come with 6 months warranty. Finance also available, subject to status. Visit us today at A&E Motors, Unit 12, Belfast Road, Newry. Contact Paul on 308-33-407. A&E Motors. Together, we can find the perfect motor to suit your needs.
Amazing 80s.
Hello again and good evening and welcome to another Amazing 80s this Sunday evening on your favourite radio station. It's one great 80s song after another on tonight's Amazing 80s. That's a big disco classic on tonight's Amazing 80s from Colonel Abrams' Trapped. From Invisible Touch, we had Throwing It All Away, one of my all-time favourite songs from June. Cyndi Lauper with Girls Just Wanna Have Fun, a number two song.
Amazing 80s with Robert Walsh.
Amazing 80s. Join me this Sunday evening at 7 on 5FM.
Amazing 80s with Kelly's Port Rush. Total entertainment for everybody.
I can't concentrate in here. It's too warm. Stick on the aircon.
Aircon? Management say it's way too expensive.
Well, why not try M&M Services? They're really competitive.
M&M Services can create a comfortable, electronically temperature-controlled summer and winter for your staff, and most importantly, your customers. Reduce your carbon footprint by replacing an old unit with new energy-efficient equipment. M&M Services. For an air conditioning quotation, call 308-304-67.
P&K Coach Hire Newry offer a fast, friendly and efficient service. Coaches available for sporting events, day trips or any occasion. We specialise in school outings and sporting events. P&K Coach Hire also offer the keenest prices in town. Hire a 25, 33 or a 50-seater luxury coach. Call P&K Coach Hire now on 40-638-737 or 077-132-57679.
Ian Lawless, estate agent, the local property professional. With 25 years experience as chartered surveyors, we can provide detailed advice on valuations and building surveys. Visit our extensive range of properties at www.lawlessestateagent.co.uk or visit us at 44 Church Street, Warren Point. Ian Lawless Estate Agent, buying or selling, the agent you can trust with your home.
Moonjumper, it's great!
Moonjumper skydivers know why birds sing at the Sky Centre, County Derry. Take to the sky with a solo jump or a 13,000-foot tandem. Why not jump for charity? Contact Moonjumper on 703 56356 or obtain sponsorship forms. That's 703 56356. Gift vouchers available for birthdays.
Rowan Hand with you. Welcome back. I'm joined in studio by Men of Africa and of Newry. Rory McMahon is a teacher at the Abbey. Dara Dobbin is a student there. Connor Bell, a student at the Abbey as well. You were in Zambia this year. You've seen things that you never thought you would see. The abiding kind of memory for lads, for you, what has stuck with you and will stay with you into your grandfatherly years way ahead?
For me...
up to the graveyard. and to see the brothers' graves. And we were standing there because we weren't entirely sure what it was, and a party of, I think it was four or five, walked past us, and they were holding something in a small blue blanket. And we, like, we sort of were interested, we sort of kept an eye on them. Turns out they went up and they dug a shallow grave, and they opened the blanket and put a baby boy into the grave and took the blanket back and they covered back up the grave. And for me, it just sort of set home then just exactly what we'd let ourselves in for and what the problems were in this part of the world. Like.
Are you telling me that they buried the child and they took the blanket back?
Yeah.
The poverty
just
was
just shows the poverty.
Extreme poverty, like that they even took, had to take their blanket back.
Yeah. And you, Connor, what sticks in your mind?
It would just be, you know, the friendliness and of the people over there. Like, we'd be walking down the street and nearly every person you meet would say hello to you. Like, and when if you put that in the context here of Newry, you know, if, like, there was people over from Africa, I doubt it would be the same. Like, they're just so friendly. We'd be driving back by in the bus and everyone would be waving it. And then in schools, like, the students, they've such passion. They put so much into their work, and they would be very, very, very smart, you know, like, much smarter than us, like, here in the Abbey and that, and they would, yet, they, like, they have such high hopes, like, any of the young lads you were talking about, maybe want to be dentists or pilots or, you know, all, like, big things, and they probably could achieve it, or they actually could achieve it, but it's just they simply don't have the money to maybe go past secondary school to go to Lusaka or that there to be able to fund it.
I know what you're saying, because when I was in northwest Nigeria, the side screw out of my spectacles flew. It loosened and it flew away. It sprung out and it went down into the scrubland. And the man who was with me said, do not worry. We shall find this. And within an hour, he had brought the screw back out of the jungle. You know, tiny little thing. This is it. But I guess, lads, you wouldn't have seen a Christian brother until you went to Africa, near enough. There's not too many of them up the hill in the Abbey.
There hasn't been any since we've been there anyway.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have seen a Christian brother in Uri.
That's right.
Would that be true?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Christian brothers in Africa?
Yeah, there was Brother McDowell. He's actually the person who runs St. Raphael's. Yeah. And I was just like, he's one of the, like, him himself and Sister Mary and that, who works in the daycare centre. They're the people, you know, that sort of keep the place going. Or the place that we were going, you know, like, I'm sure every person in Livingstone would have known them, yeah, you know, simply for the work they do.
But what's the story, Rory? You're the teacher among the group. What's the story if we're dependent on white people to run Africa? Is there a growth of black expertise occurring as a consequence of the effort put in over the years?
Well, there has to be, Ron. It's the only way, because, as you know, the influence of the Europeans now is dwindling very, very quickly. We've seen it next door to Zambia and Zimbabwe, where there's been a mass exodus of the white people under Robert Mugabe's regime. What we need to be doing with Africa is basically education. We need to be giving them our expertise. And a lot of the things we've done wrong in Africa is we've been out and giving them what we think they want, or telling them what they think they need, instead of listening to them. In my opinion, what we really should be doing is educating the people in the things that they'll actually need to help their countries develop. Unfortunately, it's not really happening on a big scale, and it's why Africa has so many problems. And it's probably an unfortunate fact that, you know, 10, 20, 50 years from now, Africa will still be in need of help. It'll still be an impoverished part of the world.
Yeah. What do you say, lads, to people who say Africa's too big a problem? It's we can't do anything about it. What do you say to people who say that, do you?
Well, what's the point in anything if they say that there? Because, like, it is a problem, but they're not going to get anywhere if everyone has that attitude. So you're not going to get anywhere in life if everyone has that attitude to everything, because you just say you're going to end up dead anyway. But so, like, by going out and giving even that little help, like Mr. Grogan, who was out, he said that from the time he was there 2 years ago, he can even see an improvement in the town of Livingstone since when we were out there a couple of months ago. So it obviously is going somewhere, so...
That's good. Listen, I'll play a bit of music for you. We'll move away from Africa for the music that's coming now, but it's a piece of music that I think has African connotations, because it's about love, and it's sung by a strong Irishman who's now at peace in heaven, Luke Kelly, Raglan Road.
on Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger and I passed along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we tripped lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be the worth of passion's pledge, the queen of hearts still making tart, and I not making hay. Oh, I loved too much, and by such is happiness thrown away. I gave her gifts of the mind, I gave her the secret sign that's known to the artists who have known the true gods of sound and stone, and word and to without stint, I gave her poems to say with her own name there and her own dark hair like clouds over fields of May. On a quiet street where old ghosts meet, I see her walking now away from me so hurriedly. My reason must allow that I had loved not as I should a creature made of clay, when the angel woos the clay his wings at the dawn of day.
Ah, we'll take that. That's fine. Thanks, Luke. Luke Kelly, God rest him. Yeah, absolutely. In here in our last, what have we got? We're in the last 3-4 minutes. So we're talking about Africa. Rory McMahon, teacher Dara Dobbin, student Connor Bell. Okay, boys, where's it all going to go from here? Who wants to pick it up? Rory?
Well, as you know, Rowan, it's the Zambian Immersion Project is running a 2-year cycle within our school. So hopefully, you know, 10, 20 years from now, we'll still be taking students out to Zambia. One of the things we've learned from the previous 2 immersion projects that we did is that the number of people who come up to us when we were out collecting for this particular immersion project, and they were able to tell us about neighbours, friends, relations who had been on the previous trips, and they always give very generously then, and really that's our aim, not just to educate the boys who were taken out, but when they return to Nuri, they themselves will become educators and educate people about the situation in Zambia and I suppose in Africa in general. And really that's our aim, is to promote what's going on in Africa and what we can do about it.
Boys, how would you sum up the attitude and the ethos of Africa? How would you, your experience, you talked about them being friendly. Are they a holy people, a spiritual people? Are they a musical people? Are they a poetic people? What kind of people did you meet in Zambia?
I remember that Sunday that we went to Mass. Like, you know, the place was packed, or the church was packed out.
Mass has lasted about 2 hours.
Yeah, it lasted 2 hours. The people are just so friendly, and for so little they've got, like the children in the schools are so happy, and the people along the street, like, they wouldn't pass you without saying hello. So like, I mean, whenever you just compare it to here, whenever people have so much and they're always complaining and wanting more, just greed.
Has the going to Zambia made you better human beings? It's a big question, I know, but I mean, it's fair enough.
So just to say a big thank you to every single person who helped us.
Okay guys, thank you. Thank you Rory McMahon, thank you Dara Dobbin, and thank you Connor Bell. Know that this studio and my newspaper columns and writings and my nationwide work are all available to you in the future. If there's anything I can do to promote what you're doing, it'll be my privilege to do that. And I recognise in you young men and a slightly older man who are making a difference in Africa. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Now we move into the necessary world of the democratic West.
Rock DC, quality ballast for you.
Lawnmowers, lawnmowers, lawnmowers. Rock DSC have a pre-season sale with end-of-season prices. So why not spring into summer with our incredible range of garden essentials? We have over 1,000 products on show. Petrol and electrical lawnmowers, trimmers, hedge trimmers, garden vacs, chainsaws for top quality names such as Flymo, McCullough, and many, many more. So get your green fingers walking.